Welcome back, friends. So how do we do this Catholic culture thing? how do we do it? And, the, you know, Sarah and I will give you some thoughts we've had, perhaps what was worked, not worked, whatever, like that. Not as a binding on sin kind of thing, but, you know, share our practices, take them into your family, and but get the, mostly to get the juices flowing. I know many years ago, you know, I'd go to lectures or whatever, Catholic lectures on different things, and I know if I came away with one new thought that I could incorporate, yeah, it was worth the 2 hours or 3 hours of my time. So, okay. I have a listing of books. They're going to be in the addendum. And I first go to this one, Mary Read Newland, The Year and Our Children, 1954. A dear, dear saintly mother, Jean Mosen, recommended it so long ago. Yes, a Catholic family classic returns. Firefly Press. And the subtitle, Planning the Family Activities for Christian Feasts and Seasons. This, right, there, I have a few here on Advent and Christmas, and those tend to be nicely highlighted. We have beautiful culture and surrounding those as well. But it's that rest of the year that tends to fall by the wayside, which, you know, Sarah pointed out with these forgotten feasts and fasts. That's where it comes. And what's interesting, she has beautiful blessings on common things at the table. She has a beautiful modified Seder meal that we do every year with reading the great Hallel Psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms that Jesus would have recited and prayed with his disciples at the Last Supper and so forth and so on. Just, it's a gem. Here's the NCCB, Prayers of the Advent and Christmas Season. And so these have prayers of blessing the house, blessing the Christmas tree, blessing the nativity crush, and so forth.
When was that published, Karen?
Believe it or not, I think it was 1987. So, and living and celebrating the Advent and Christmas seasons. That's another one. I mean, I've read through it, and you can decide if you like it. That's one of those things. You can see if you like it or not. That one's a good one. I'll stop here because I have a few more. Raising Catholic Children by Marianne Kerharsky.
Yes,
an excellent one. It's not telling you the feast day so much as it's giving you a why, that broader sense, right? That foundation, that basement that Sarah talked about. Here's one. Please don't drink the holy water.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yes.
It is.
Who wrote that?
Susie Lloyd.
Yeah, Susie Lloyd. She's funny.
She is. Homeschool days, rosary nights, and other near occasions of sin.
Yes, the rosary nights, that is most assuredly a near occasion of sin for every mother.
Yes, it is. Oh, man. A book, A Feasts and Seasons.
Right.
This is a very good, Joanna Bogle.
Yeah, I don't think I know that one.
It has, the church. I mean, it's right, Advent wreath, of course, and Christmas. But then, what we're trying to do is get into the, there's a lot. It's a lot on. I can see Christmas, but then you go in, so you get maybe that much is on the Advent Christmases, but then you get into Blazes Day, Valentine's, Lent. The springtime, St. Joseph's. Oh, man. There is a, apparently I like the minty rolled lamb or something, or Easter.
That's good, huh?
Mark there.
Yeah.
And to show that we're just not stuck in the past, like the 80s, drinking with the saints.
Perfect book, yes.
It is.
Yep.
We met him, Michael Foley. So the point is, if you're not blessed in a community that has an functioning, vibrant Catholic culture,
right,
you really are going to have to avail yourself and do the work to put it in your home. Maybe it's more authentic that way, right? Instead of having it.
And really, you have to recognize, number one, that the perfect is the enemy of the good. You know, there's no right way to do these things necessarily. The doing of them is what's important. And the other thing is, I think that people, you know, you've brought it up a couple times, but that your baptism brings you into the order of priest, prophet, and king, right? And I think that we have, I mean, a right is given to the human person because they have a duty. And none of us want, I guess another way of saying it, duty is a responsibility. And none of us want to be responsible for anything. And so consequently, our rights are slowly being removed from us because we are shirking the authority that has been given to us as a blessing, not as a curse, right? I mean, we are given authority to bless. And I think that that's going to be one of those things where, you know, to recite these prayers or to ask our Lord's blessing in these small activities in our daily lives, there's going to have to be a willingness to get over the shyness of feeling like you don't have the right to do these things. It is a part of your patrimony. This is part of your inheritance that has been given to you, that's been bestowed upon you by those who preceded you. And you have, I remember a couple of years ago when, because fasting for me has always been a real struggle. I mean, I think it's only within the past 1 or 2 years that I've kind of even had an epiphany in regards to what it means, right? I mean, but not least of which because the church has always, at least in my lifetime, basically said, you know, pregnant women don't have to fast. And so consequently, you know, I spent an enormous part of my young married life pregnant and not fasting, right? I mean, and so there was no growth in an understanding of what that means. And it's only now that Clark is nine, my baby is nine finally, I'm like, oh, well, maybe I need to learn something about this. But when I was doing that and I stumbled on, you know, Rogation Days and Ember Days, and I thought, what is this? How is it possible that I've never even heard of a Rogation Day? And rogare, right, means to call down or to irrigate, right, or to ask. I mean, there's two different kind of concepts there. And then the Ember Days, which are days that precede the seasons, you know, and you have a fast on a Wednesday, a Friday, and a Saturday. Like, where was that? Because I think that we've lost our idea of Sunday as a feast day. Well, how can you know that it's a feast day when you stuffed your face on Friday, you stuffed your face on Saturday, and there's no hunger for the Eucharist? I mean, there's a reason why we have natural hunger, and it's to keep the body alive. But God never gives anything without a dual purpose, at least. And that natural hunger is to make us aware of the spiritual hunger. I mean, none of us are going to be hungry for a little wafer. Now, we're not going to, our bodies will not naturally hunger for the tiniest taste of wine or the smallest particle of bread. We won't hunger for that in the sense of a natural hunger. But if you fast on Wednesday, you know, and you fast on Friday and you fast on Saturday, you're going to be hungry. And that, and the Mass, remember, was you didn't go to Mass at 8 o'clock in the night on a Sunday evening and consider your obligation filled. You went at first light, like at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning, because you broke your fast with the Eucharist. You know, I think what we have, and we preceded the seasons, right? Because these Rogation Days, they fall in line with the seasons. They precede those times, asking, times of asking and entering into a new, not only a new natural season, but, you know, an awareness of a change within the liturgical cycle also. You know, there, things used to make much more sense, I think, to the mind of our parents and our grandparents and whatnot than they do now. You know, we don't understand why are we feasting right now, or why are we fasting right now, or, you know, why is this a celebration? And I really think that for the human person, if you forget the fast, you will never feast. But there's no way that you could ever forget the feast if you fast.
Exactly right. We'll pick up again, my friends. We have some more practical tips and ideas. Till then, fides.